ages, it is I, your two-time Ramble Mania World Heavy, former Ramble Mania two-time heavyweight champion of the world, but soon will be a three-time, and like, after this podcast, Katie Kaboom, and I am here with
a dissenting party. I am your current reigning, defending, undisputed, and will still be the Ramble Mania champion, 10 times at that, the man of the cosmos, TJ the Great.
TJ
the Great. And
this is what's SmackDown.
Here I am. Once again.
I mean, in our defense, we probably haven't come back in a while. It was all your fault anyways.
That's true. I'll take the hit for that, but
so you must sit and suffer in all non-silenceness as we talk about SmackDown and the WWE draft.
Bunch of nonsense.
Nonsense, I tell you.
I didn't even watch the NFL draft. I avoided the one draft that everyone was actually talking about, only to have to end up talking about this other damn draft that don't even make sense from several of the picks that I've heard and seen listed here.
But if it was AEW doing the draft pick for their show, you would totally watch it.
I do not want no AEW draft. If Tony Khan even thinks
about going to ROH,
if he were to do it, he better do it right. Like he's in the NFL. He knows the system. He knows how an actual draft is done and the tenor of it and all that. So I would want him to do it for real if he was ever going to do it. But no, you don't need no drafts or nothing like that. I'm already not happy about this supposed incoming brand split with the new Saturday show. So no drafts, please.
Is it worth watching? Like, I haven't watched a lot of wrestling. I actually started watching SmackDown again because I was disheartened when Vince came back with this whole bullshit after Mania with the set. I swear to God, bro. I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to speak about it. I just sat there. I had no Wi-Fi that day, so I couldn't jump on for the second night of Mania with you guys.
Yes.
So I'm watching it. I'm using my phone to hotspot my Fire Stick so I could watch it, all for Cody to fucking lose and wake up the next day.
The glory.
And what? I would have been the fucking champion, bro. Had that not fucked me up.
Cody taking that L was tremendous. I mean, it fucked up my perfect score. I would have had a perfect score had he won. But tremendous.
Me too.
Tremendous.
That was horrible. And then they sold WWE. First of all, that's, in my opinion, while it sounds a little masterful, how do you not own your own company no more, though? By 2%.
I mean, it's crazy because, like, a week or so after the sale, I had started watching Succession and caught up. And it is very similar to how the company is sold in the show, in that the old guard sells the company to whatever sort of third party is willing to keep them in power and ends up with more power than ever in the situation. Then Logan dies in the show, but Vince is still here. So Vince is he maneuvered his way back into the fold. We thought he was going to be forced out because of everything that came out last year, but then he forced his way back in and then was able to sell the company to a party that was going to make sure they kept him involved. It's masterful maneuvering.
Of course, Stephanie.
It's fucked up. Yeah, it's fucked up. And it's a lot of bodies caught in the crossfire.
Yo, the amount of backstabbing you do in this situation. Like, and you'll never admit it because whatever NDA is, and because I doubt the family title card would really keep her loyal.
Yeah, but I'm there's probably a lot of legal leads that they're wrapped up in that'll prevent them from talking or doing anything, at least in the immediate time period, maybe years and years down the line. But as of right now, business is going to keep going on as usual. And Vince is at the head of the business. Once again, he's the man, pal. I'm back.
Yeah, but they say that his storylines are coming to an end again soon, so you might actually enjoy watching SmackDown again.
I doubt that. But let's, maybe. But Vince McMahon has won too many times for me to see him losing anytime soon.
Mm-mm. But did you enjoy those fruitful months without him?
I mean, like I've been saying the whole time, it hasn't seemed that different to me from what little I've watched. So I guess nothing's really changed to me. It's been less stupid. That's the best thing I can say. It's been less stupid.
I mean, I would appreciate the less stupidness.
Yeah. I mean, less stupidity is always fine, but I mean, sometimes you get stuff like Cody losing, and then that's really fucking funny if you're not invested in this product. So
I hate you assholes too, because I'm watching your reaction on the feed, right? On that clip. And all you guys did was laugh. I'm like, yeah, of course these motherfuckers just start laughing. Because there's nothing else to say at this fucking moment.
It was tremendous. Like, really? Got beat this man?
I did love that KSI did show up, though. I called that shit from, like, long ago. I'm like, watch. The next time there's something with Logan Paul, I better see KSI.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to see him pop into that match and take a bump and do all that cool stuff. Good for him. Good for them. They're getting stuff done. Yeah. I've never had that prime drink. Probably never will, but good for them.
One of my students had it today. I'm sitting here like, please tell me you didn't spend like $4 on this drink only because it's Logan Paul.
That shit like $4? I'm definitely never drinking that. That's crazy.
When I used to work at the smoke shop, they were charging $4 for it.
Nah, that's out of pocket. The bottles don't even seem that big.
You know what else is out of pocket?
What?
Mike Tyson believes that Endeavor should add boxing to WWE and talks about a match with Logan Paul.
Well, I mean, they own UFC, a mixed martial arts company, a pro wrestling company. Where does boxing come into that equation? I mean, WWE tried boxing, kinda, one time. We saw how that went. So, if it were me calling the shots, I wouldn't do that. But I'm not calling the shots. So, who knows? Who knows what they're thinking over there? They did try that fake blood sport shit a few years back. What was it called? Raw Underground. So
that was fun though. That was my shit though. I'm not even gonna lie. Because it's like, yo, don't talk about Fight Club. No one talks about Fight Club.
Yeah, if you want to get into like, because kind of Enokiism / shoot style, you know, hybrid style wrestling is sort of making a comeback or making a come up. In the modern North American scene with, like I said, Bloodsport. So maybe you could try something like that, but I don't know. WWE is so Disney-fied. I don't know if they could really pull that off.
Man, I remember going to my first, like, really hardcore house show with Invictus. Oh, they were fucking each other up in the brewery. Like, Nikolai White almost broke one of the beer can machines.
Yeah, because like there's an aesthetic and a vibe to that you can't put a bunch of lights and you can't be too clean with it and sanitized like WWE is, and that like those things don't mesh. Those two auras don't mesh. So I don't know if WWE can really pull that off, but they could try. I mean, they're a content factory, so it's more content.
Oh, Mike Tyson goes, but wouldn't boxing do the same? It would be similar to the Rockefellers because when he monopolized the whole oil system and then they made him break it up, he had more money breaking it up than he did monopolizing it. If they all formed together, they could highlight each other. They could all be seen together. Fighters would be fighting in a square ring at one time, still with the ropes and everything. We have to make combat sports have such an affinity with the combat world that it's going to be the biggest athletic sport from the beginning of its journey to end. We have to change sports and turn it into a total entertainment field. Total entertainment, mask, costumes, all that stuff. Everything. take it to the highest potential, to the imagination of everyone, almost become God status. Boxing alone, fighting alone won't last. Entertainment will last forever. That's why the fighter has to be exciting. Entertainment can last forever. There's more. Should I continue?
I mean, I feel like I get the gist of what he's saying, which is, I don't know, that's crazy. Because then that's, say, Endeavor, you get all the major boxing organizations under your umbrella alongside UFC and alongside WWE, and then do this big hybrid thing of having all the boxers, MMA fighters, and wrestlers doing these whatever types of matches. Like, yeah, that is one way to, I guess, extend the lifespan of all three of those different forms of sports and entertainment. But also, when I also feel like bringing those three together in that way could also dilute all the individual sorts of forms of entertainment. I don't know.
I just can't see everything going a sports entertainment route, right?
Yeah, plus, like, I think pro wrestling is, in a lot of ways, it's very similar to those things, but it's also, like, in the execution of it, it's also very different from those things. Like, you can, like I said, you can, it can be done. There are companies that are doing things like that nowadays and have always done things like that in history, but I don't know if it can be done on that level with the glitz and the glamour of the big money companies like that, especially not in a big hybrid package. I think, like what Mike's talking about, like, you got the celebrity boxing matches, or the, now you get the creator clash things with all the YouTubers and the influencers boxing each other now, and those things make money. So I guess I can see why he would think that, you know, if you just boil all those entertainment forms together like they've been doing with that, it could work. But I don't know. It's a scary prospect to me.
You know what else is scary?
What?
A world without Jerry Springer.
The world was scary enough. Yeah. The world was scary enough when he was here and he was explaining shit to us. Now without him, oh God.
Like, who's gonna tell us that they're not the father?
Right, Maury's retired.
You know, what happened to our daytime TV? They've canceled like half of the soap operas, Maury's gone, Montel is gone.
That it's really an entire, like, bygone era of daytime television that era represented. Like, the 90s of daytime TV shows, Jerry, Jenny, Ricky, Montel. Then you had the soap operas of, you know, All My Children and all that stuff. Like, that era is really bygone and of the past. Like, it only lives on through the memories of the people that watched it and video archives. If and there's not even a lot of those, it seems like, online.
Like, I feel like Channel 11, Channel 5, Channel 2, and Channel 4 had the best shows and the best, and 7, because on the weekend you watch anything.
Yeah, on the weekends it had all the best stuff, because that's when all the, well, for me, that's when all the cartoons and stuff were on. And then NBA and all that other good stuff. So that's all the stuff I watched.
But damn, rest in peace, Jerry.
Yeah, rest in peace, Jerry Springer. Like we had talked about last week, transformed daytime television, transformative in popular culture, like a huge part of mid to late 90s popular culture. Anything around that time that you saw probably had some type of Jerry Springer reference going on in it. So,
but he also did a lot of acting roles. Like, people forget about that. Like, he was on the George Lopez show.
Yeah. Like, that's a part of how big of a, you know, impact on entertainment he had. Like, everybody had wanted to make a Jerry Springer joke or do a Jerry Springer reference, or, you know, because he was on the Wayans Brothers, like a bunch of crazy stuff.
Didn't he also get Hall of Famer in WWE, the celebrity one?
Pretty sure, yeah, he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. Was a guest host on Raw, had Razor Ramon and Iron Cheek on the show. Jerry Springer, his legacy is all throughout all different walks of life in entertainment. So,
if you were a 90s kid, you probably saw your first pair of titties on Jerry Springer.
One of your first blurry pairs, yeah, sure. If you were lucky enough, your parents had the tape, the Too Hot for TV tape.
Oh my god!
If you were lucky enough,
the retro porn.
Yeah, that was the closest thing you could get to porn. If you didn't actually have it, you couldn't actually know.
Or you had to wait like past 11 o'clock for certain channels.
Yeah, true that. The certain public access channels had crazy shit going.
So you know that we gonna get Bad Bunny and Damian Priest to main event Backlash.
That's cool. I think cool for Damian Priest. Cool for Bad Bunny, who's always been good in all his WWE performances. So yeah, no Roman Reigns on the show makes sense to me.
It feels weird that there's no Roman. Like, I feel like we've been seeing so much Roman on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, the tribal chief is at that point now where he is a true star, which means he knows that he's got to let his appearances breathe in that WWE ecosystem. Because that's what the true stars do. So he's going to pop in and out.
How do you feel about him finally giving up, but the belt going to Raw?
Well, is it like, so his belts are being split up because they got the new belt?
Yeah, so they said that he was going to SmackDown with the Universal title and the WWE title is going to go to Raw. And the championship is going to be determined in something or another, one of those extravagant matches in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, so they did split the belt, which means that, yeah, this is a consolation prize. Great. Wonderful. The you know, nobody could beat Roman, so who's going to win this shit? Type. The here nigga damn championship. Exactly like they said. The here nigga damn championship. Y'all keep complaining that y'all want a champion to be on TV and nobody can beat Roman. Nobody's beating Roman here. Have this. Here, nigga.
But it's stupid though, because they should have never merged them in the first place. If you were going to keep the brands fucking separate, instead you have the Usos, or now Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, the two sets of championships walking around. Fucking Roman's walking around with two belts.
What do you want to do?
Like, how long, first of all, how long more are we doing this with Roman? Like, he's not going to go and beat Bruno Sammartino. And I doubt, and I pray that we're not trying to beat Hulk's record.
Yeah, dude. Let's beat him up, dude.
Nah, bro. I need this over with. I need more. I need life into SmackDown. Because that draft, too. Why is it that Raw looks like they got 500 people on it while SmackDown got like 10?
Because Raw has an extra hour, I presume. So, yeah. They're going to need more people.
Fuck their extra hour. That shit should have been chopped, too.
Yeah. You would think someone would be like, I draft 15 minutes out of the runtime on Monday Night Raw. But hey, it is what it is there. It's locked in.
But yeah. Sir, are you ready?
I suppose I am ready. I suppose.
In the name of the Ramble Mania gods, the Irish drinkers, Bob Marley, whoever you might pray to, and of course, the Ramble Mania gods, we are now here in the Raw, though. I fucked up.
Oh, goddamn.
All right, cut. I did good, though.
You did.
Until the end. Yeah. In the name of Bob Marley, the Ramble Mania gods, and whoever you may believe in, we are now in the Ramble Zone.
We entering.
Tell us about the numbers, Tev.
Yes, the ratings for SmackDown. were up big ratings for the draft because it is the draft and it always does get numbers. 2.4 million viewers on Fox, up 13% from the previous week. Best audience for the show since January 27th, which I assume was some big show. Was number one on network TV with a 6.7 rating in 18 to 49, which is up 24% from the previous week. So, yes. Fifth on TV total in the demo. Just trailing basketball and football. Playoff coverage from the NBA, draft coverage from the NFL. So, you know, very, very good numbers for Friday Night SmackDown. Exactly what they wanted out of this draft. So I'm sure they're happy.
You know, I might be rambling with this, but are you one of those fans that were upset that the Knicks lost this weekend?
Absolutely not. I am a Miami Heat fan.
Oh, okay. Listen, I don't know shit about who likes what in basketball. My boss has got a big Knicks banner hanging in our office right now.
Yeah, listen, I'm glad to see the city excited about basketball again, but now you're in the way. So, you know, got to get out of Miami's way.
We even got the commercial about the Knicks.
Yeah. They're having the most success they've had in a long time. So it's good for them. But again, yeah, facing the Miami Heat now. The game's changed. Right.
So we start off the show with, you know, the usual then now forever. WWE SmackDown is back from the American Bank Center in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Oh, God, not Corpus Christi.
The opening signature is narrated by John Cena. And we kick off the night with Triple H. We shoot to a special video package hyping the start of the 2023 draft, which concludes with the text, "Begins now." From there, we head inside into the American Bank Center in Corpus Christi, Texas, where Michael Cole and Wade Barrett welcome us to the show. Triple H's theme hits, and he comes out to kick off the special broadcast. He heads over to the podium to set up on the side of the entrance and run down the rules for the 2023 draft. He informs us that 50% will be drafted tonight and the other 50 will be drafted Monday on Raw. A graphic for the Friday draft pool showing superstars eligible to be drafted tonight flashes across the screen. From there, we head back to Triple H, mentions that in addition to the superstars on Raw and SmackDown, selected superstars from NXT will be eligible in the draft. The post-draft roster is going to effect on Monday, May 8th, following WWE Backlash 2023. Ready for the first picks?
Yes, who is the franchise player of WWE going number one?
Triple H mentioned he had his first picks in his hand, and he goes, "Are you ready?"
Yo, this is Gaby. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, Corpus Christi, if they are in fact ready. He announces the first pick who goes to SmackDown, all three drafted as one, Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, and the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns.
How you just pick the whole... Not even the whole bloodline. Three members of the bloodline.
The bloodline will be remaining on the blue brand. The number one pick goes to Reigns, Sikoa, and Heyman. He mentioned that Reigns will be staying on SmackDown with the Universal title. The new World Heavyweight title will be exclusive to Raw.
Okay.
The consolation prize. Now we go into the first official draft pick from Monday Night Raw. It is none other than the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. His theme plays, but he doesn't come out. Triple H tells the fans they were almost to the whoa part of the music and tells them, go ahead and do it. They do.
Okay. Very nice of him. Very nice of him.
You know, you got to show that respect to Cody. You already fucked him over at Mania. Don't do that.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I don't care. First of all, you drafting him to Raw like that makes a fucking difference. He still kept his red t-shirt on.
He been there, so whatever. Sure.
So SmackDown number two pick. We have our first champion changing hands as the reigning Raw Women's Champion Bianca Belair is announced as the number two pick for SmackDown. With that said, the top dog in the women's division will now move to the blue brand on SmackDown. I kind of didn't like this.
Ooh, you know that means that now Rhea's going to go to fucking Raw and they're going to do this stupid swap. That's what I thought when I heard this. They're doing the dumb swap. And someone yeah. go off script and drop the belt or whatever stupid shit happened with Charlotte and Becky. Just nonsense. Nonsensical. But maybe they won't do that.
You know they will.
Probably will. Probably will. They knew everybody hated it the first time, so yeah, why not do it again?
But I think it'll be different with them.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. They'll hype up a match or something.
I think Survivor Series would be lit, though.
Yeah, if they're going back to that champion versus champion type thing, then yeah, I guess you could have that going on for that now.
Raw's second pick is none other than the man, Becky Lynch.
I'm the fucking man. I was already on this show.
Oh.
I've been drafted to the show I'm already on.
That one with her husband.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on in this draft.
Yo, they're really coupling up people.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, after years and years of them, like, almost being spiteful in how they did that shit, now they, like, very meticulously keep all the couples together.
So now the Usos address Roman Reigns, and Sammy confronts them. The game introduces former undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, the Usos. Their theme for the Bloodline duo comes out, and here comes Jimmy and Jay. They hug Triple H and they go back, and the Usos grab the mic and mention that the Bloodline is now in your city. Oh, Jimmy Uso kicks things off by congratulating the big Uso, Roman Reigns, on being the number one draft pick in 2023. Jay Uso says he knows Roman Reigns is at home watching, but points out that tonight the Usos will bring gold back to the Bloodline. The Usos talk about how they haven't heard from Reigns since losing their tag titles to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at Mania 39. They once again mention how they are dedicating this match to the Tribal Chief. Before they can say anything else, Kevin Owens theme hits, out he comes. He stops, and then Sami's music hits. Zayn comes out as well. Zayn and Owens stand right across from Jimmy and Jay at the top of the entrance stage. Zayn goes on to say, this one thing and he'll be done. He said they not see how Roman Reigns, Solo, and Paul were drafted to SmackDown together, but not Jimmy or Jay. So mind you, you're mad because you're staying in the same spot, but they didn't include you in it.
Yeah, I guess because they weren't a part of the pick.
He hasn't heard from them since losing their titles at Mania. They lose their cool and they go off on Sami saying they're not losing tonight. And Owens and Zayn will be losing their titles. They make jokes. And Owens flips out and says he's fucking sick and tired of hearing this shit and can't wait to beat their asses later and retain and get the fuck out of here. I love Kevin Owens during this storyline. He just wants to fuck people up and leave.
That's right, son. He's taking cues from old Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's what you like to see.
So Bianca reacts to being drafted from Raw to SmackDown. She says she's excited to be back on Friday night, and she says her first title was a SmackDown Women's Champion, so moving back holds a special significance for her. Then we got our boy, LA Knight versus Butch.
Yeah, LA Knight, yeah.
Yeah. Yo, if I had my StreamYard on, I have the dummy memes.
Dummy, yeah. LA Knight, yeah. Let me talk to you.
The Sheamus theme tick and Michael Cole proclaim it's fight night. Butch makes his way to the ring for our opening contest on tonight's special WWE Draft Night 1 edition of Friday Night SmackDown. That's a fucking mouthful. Pause. The theme for LA Knight hits and out comes the Maryland native to the ring. He settles inside and the music dies down. Now the bell sounds to get us off and running with the first match of the show. Butch immediately gets Knight down and works his small joint manipulation spots, bending the fingers off his opponent backwards. Knight eventually fights back into the lead, planting Butch into the hard ring of the apron. Knight gloats to the Corpus Christi crowd as we head into the mid-match commercial as the action continues. When we return, we see Knight is still in control, with the commentators informing us that he's been dominating throughout the break. LA continues to work over Butch for a moment, but it isn't long after we return that we see the Brawling Brutes member back in the offensive driver's seat. Knight is on the defensive, but he fights back into the lead and hits his finisher for the pinfall victory. And your winner is LA Knight.
Yeah, dummy.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you. I got the W. Yeah. It's fun. It's good to see, I guess, that, you know, he's getting over. Or he is over with the crowd.
It took him a few gimmicks, but he got it.
Yeah. Once they let him do what he's good at doing, talking that shit and engaging with the people, he's been cooking.
You think you could see him in the main title picture one day?
I don't know. Maybe as someone who challenges for the title here and there, but I don't know if they'll ever have him be a champion like that.
Like, I can't see him be on Roman status and be universal, but I can see him have, like, a one-time heavyweight title run. Like, one time.
Maybe. The way they do things nowadays is definitely possible. I just don't know if, you know, they're down to reach that point with him.
One day, though.
Maybe.
But they made, if they could make Baron Corbin a fucking free agent.
They did that shit because they're not trying to use that man.
Listen, man. Him, Omos, Mustafa.
Free Ali. That's the vibes. Free Yo, Ali.
That's that poor guy.
Get my guy out of there.
Let him go to Impact.
Let him go wherever. Just get him out of there. Get him out of that place.
Shout out to Trinity for going to Impact, though.
Bless and shout out.
Now it makes me want to watch Impact more now.
Yeah. Got a good women's division. They got talent over there, so definitely worth checking out.
So we got Paul Heyman again, bro.
Paul Heyman!
We see the Usos hyping themselves in the locker room for the title match tonight. Paul Heyman and Solo is shown behind them, hyping them up. Heyman rants that Jimmy likes what he hears, and Jay seems to see through it clearly now. Heyman finishes up by turning Solo behind the Usos and handing the tape and saying that the Tribal Chief said that one way or another, tonight is the night. This presumably suggests that either Jimmy and Jay regain the titles or Sokoa is to take them out for failing to do so after putting Roman's name in the mix with their dedication to him.
Jesus.
That's fucked up.
Oh, shit. I guess the Usos going to die tonight? Shit.
Listen, man. So that means that everything I said about a potential Solo versus Roman could possibly happen.
Maybe.
I would want to see that. Not for a title match, but just to see who would win.
I mean, Roman. Roman never loses to anybody. I think we know that.
Listen, Roman has to eventually lose.
Nah.
Nah. What do you mean nah?
Nah.
They're going to keep him for eternity as fucking champion? The man's eventually, knock on wood, going to die one day.
They're going to find ways to keep this man going. What, cryogenically. AI technology? Clone him. Yeah, they're going to use technology. They're not playing. The story will never finish with Roman. That's it. He holding this shit forever.
Stop it. You're out of control.
That's the true chaotic option, so that's what I got to go with.
RVD and Michael Hayes show up.
That's my guy.
In the respective locker rooms, they're coming out for the 2023 draft night one to reveal their next pick. We go into a commercial break. So in our number three pick, RVD theme hits and comes the whole fucking show to a big ass pop.
Dude.
He settles in the podium and the music dies down. The theme for the Fabulous Freebirds hits and Michael P.S. Hayes comes out. Hayes announces the first pick of the second round, the third round overall. SmackDown chooses Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits. Solo Cup are going to SmackDown. Hubby, wife, and bestie.
Yeah. Gotta keep those couples. Gotta keep those couples out there. Gotta keep everybody together. Dude, WWE is a place of harmony.
Whoever thought. As the RVG chants keep breaking out, as he prepares for the next pick, he says it is good to be here and announces the first draft pick of the second round, third overall for Raw. The red brand gets WWE Intercontinental Champion Walter and the rest of Imperium.
Oh, the god, Walter.
And the rest of Imperium.
Oh, yes.
Then we go to our number four pick for SmackDown. Michael P.S. Hayes continues with the next overall pick. Coming to SmackDown is the Brutus Rated R Superstar Edge.
On this day, SmackDown legend.
From there, RVD continues to the mic and said the overall pick is the original bro himself, Riddle. The fans chant, bro, as the music plays. Michael Cole then runs the review of night one so far of the draft. How are we feeling about this so far?
I mean, not a lot of movement. Most of these guys were on the show that they've been drafted on already. Some people got moved, but I don't know. Nothing crazy going on.
The Street Profits come out versus the LWO versus Ricochet and Braun Strowman. Why is Trevor and Braun still a thing?
La Raza. Why are the LWO not using the LWO theme? That is the question. Why can't they just use the song that the LWO used in WCW? I don't understand.
They wanted to highlight Eddie. That's why they changed it. That's essentially what it is.
Eddie used that song. It was Eddie's song first, in fact. WWE just out here nostalgia baiting shit and using shit. Brood Edge.
But yeah, so we have the Street Profits versus the LWO versus Trevor and Braun. The Street Profits team hits and comes out Montez and Angelo Dawkins wanting all the smoke and they head to the ring for the triple threat tag team match. They settle in the ring and cut a quick promo and get a pop from Corpus Christi. The music dies down and await the arrival of their opponents. Excuse me. With that said, Ricochet and Braun Strowman theme hit and come out the friendly duo. What the fuck? And I'm sorry, I'm kidding. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this still happening?
I mean, they're running with it now, I guess. Are they over?
Why is this an actual thing?
They're over. That's my assumption. They're over.
Cruz del Toro, I'm just skipping over there, fucking walking. Fuck out of here with that. Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde came out representing the LWO and they head out to the ring. They settle inside and the music dies down. All three teams that are involved are now in the ring. The bell officially sounds and we are off and running with this one. Strowman, Ford, and Wilde all kick things off with their respective teams in this one. Strowman immediately chucks both men out of the ring. He launches Ricochet onto the bodies on the floor, and we head to a mid-match commercial break as the match continues. When we return from the break, we see Del Toro, Ricochet, and Dawkins duking it out. Wilde tags in and heads right to the rope for a flipping dive that sees him splash onto the lake with both and take out, I'm sorry, and splash on and take out both members of the Street Profits on the floor at ringside. Back in the ring, the LWO member and Ricochet start flying all over the place. to get the crowd on their feet. Soon after this, the Street Profits duel of Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins hit their finisher for the pinfall victory in what was an exciting match. I'm going to tell you the truth. I tuned out during this match.
And I didn't watch it at all, so damn. Sounds like a decent match, though.
It was, but it was Trevor fucked everything up for me.
Damn, just the disdain for Trevor. Why? What did Trevor Man do?
First of all, someone high flying is that has a basic ass name like Trevor?
I mean, listen, Will Ospreay is Will William.
Listen, man, I tell my nephew too. His middle name is William. I'm like, yo, your name's kind of basic sometimes. I'm sorry. I love you.
What's in the name? He's still he was an elite high flyer. He can work. He can work his ass off.
And he could have had a cooler name than Trevor. I'm sorry.
It's not his fault. We're not even supposed to be calling him Trevor. We're supposed to be calling him Ricochet.
We see JBL and Teddy Long leaving their locker room as we head to the commercial break. When we
return, Mago.
It is announced in the third round of night one that the almighty Bobby Lashley will be moving from Raw to SmackDown as the fifth pick for the Blue Brand. Drew McIntyre will be the fifth pick for Raw. The sixth pick for SmackDown is the entire group of the OC. AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, and Mitch and Mia Yim. Finally, The Miz is the sixth pick for Raw. Cool, The Miz gets to stay in one spot.
That's crazy to go from a whole faction to just The Miz. That's insane. What in the hell?
Like, I mean, I'm glad that AJ Styles went back to SmackDown.
That's right, freaking AJ Styles. That's the house that I built. I did the things there. I did the carpentry.
You here just stirring up my carpet?
That's right. It's my freaking house. You got to pay me rent.
Move over, Paige.
That's right. You over there in AEW, Soraya. Yeah, that's my freaking house now.
So that I feel like that draft went by super quick. Like that part of the draft, like they really didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, Mago. It's this guy, Mago, and you know. With legend cameo, some of them going milk it and some of them going get in and get out.
Now we're Queen's representing right now. Queen's back in the ring. Zelina in the fucking ring versus Sonya Deville. The bell sounds off and we're up and running. Deville backs Vega into a corner and lights her up with a flurry of body punches. She turns and yells at the referee for telling her to stop. Deville goes out on the floor and continues to beat down Vega as we see Green applauding in the background. Back in the ring, Deville continues to beat down Vega, blasting her with kicks in the corner of the ring over and over again. We see Sonya continue to fuck up Vega in what is completely a one-sided match. The commentators kick off about how the underdog will fucking win. Now, out of nowhere, this is proven as Vega rolls Deville up and somehow gets the pinfall victory. After the match, Rhea Ripley attacks Zelina Vega from behind. She beats her down and goes for the Riptide finisher. Vega counters it and takes her out as the commentators go nuts. After the match, we head to a commercial break.
This is mine!
So when we get back from the break, we see Santos talking to Zelina, telling her about how good she did against Sonya. And Rey came up and told her the same thing. Vega talks about how the LWO lit a fire under her. She mentions being ready for a title opportunity at Backlash. Ray talks about being smaller than everyone he ever faced, but as long as she has within her head and her heart lined up, nothing can stop her.
Ah, yes. Good Saturday morning cartoon lesson over right there.
I know, right? Like, we know she's probably not going to win.
Yeah, most likely.
I mean, who are you going to go for, Rhea?
Yeah, probably, in that scenario, yeah. Rhea is they just put the belt on her. They're pushing her hard right now. She out here fighting dudes and shit. So yeah, she's not losing.
AJ comes back. The OC declares that thing. They're just getting started.
I tried. So, we're just freaking getting started.
The OC make their way in after the announcement. Styles gets ready to introduce the fans who are already chanting "Welcome back" at him. But before he can, the Vikings Raiders theme hits, and here comes Eric and Ivar, accompanied by Valhalla. They settle into the ring and get in the OC's face with their mean mugs on. Styles says he wants to make sure that he's right, and they come here to pick out a fight. He mentions how it's 4-3 and says they're smart as they look. The Phenomenal One backs up and hops off the turnbuckle and tells the OC to handle their business. We see two big guys square off against each other, two big men, and the girls, ladies grill each other. Mitchin takes out Valhalla, and then Anderson and Gallows hits a double team finisher on Eric and Ivar. Styles gets back on the mic and tells the crowd and the talent in the back, we're just getting fucking started. They get ready to leave, but Styles stops on the ring apron, turns around, and springboards back into the ring for a Phenomenal forearm. He leads the OC back to the stage area after that. So round 4 of the draft pick is introduced by HBK and Road Dogg.
Okay.
I wonder what happens here.
Some NXT bullshit, I presume.
Right, like that gives it away.
Yeah. Oh, Shawn Michaels, the guy who is now the guy for NXT. Yeah, I assume something involving that is going to happen.
And for night 4, the 7th overall pick is announced to be Damage Control, the trio consisting of Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky.
Damage Control.
Then Baileylicious.
I will never watch Raw again. RIP Raw. She'll probably show up on Raw again. They'll probably show up on Raw again. But if they don't, I will never watch Raw again.
Welcome back to SmackDown.
Yeah, now she's going to bother Michael Cole again. It should have been me. But nonetheless, she's back on SmackDown, which ends whatever vested interest I may have had in Monday Night Raw.
That means Hazel doing it by himself now?
I mean, I'll still show up on the streams, but I will never watch the show now because the only thing I ever watched the show for was Bayley, and now she's going to be on SmackDown. So if Dave, if he's doing SmackDown, he and Hazel, then maybe I'll watch some SmackDown then. But Raw, it's over.
Our number 7th pick is the King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Let's go, Shinsuke.
How we feeling? It feels a little boring, though. Still no excitement yet, right?
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, again, what about any of this roster movement is supposed to be exciting? It's the same shows. It's, for the most part, the same styles. It's, you know, what is supposed to be exciting about these guys ending up on either of these shows?
I think there was a plot twist here, though. The number 8 pick for SmackDown is announced to be the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn.
Oh, the big OG Elbow Fire is in the building. And Isla Dawn, fine ass. God bless. God bless.
Now, if he already admitted he didn't like that he was going to lose his NXT Tag Team Champs, he might as well lose his smile again because Raw drafted the NXT Women's Champion, Indy Hartwell.
Indiana Jones. Let's go.
It's a good day when we find out that there's no more NXT streams.
Yeah,
NXT. There's no more NXT champion.
Dead. Kill it off. Kill it off entirely.
But Kaden Carter and Katana Chance are shown interrupting Alba Fire and Isla Dawn as they talk to Mackenzie Mitchell about being drafted to SmackDown.
Oh my God, Mackenzie Mitchell was on the show?
Yep. The two tell them that they won't be taking their NXT championship with them because they won a title shot next Tuesday night on NXT, in which the match became confirmed.
Okay. Keep that in mind.
Oh, see, now you're going to watch it now.
No.
We shoot backstage again for a quick interview with Shinsuke Nakamura about being drafted from SmackDown to Raw. Before he can say anything, he got fucked up from behind by Karrion Kross.
Damn. It looks like there's been enough talk. It's time for the main event.
Ding, ding, ding. Put that sound effect there, too.
I got you.
When we return from the commercial break, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn make their way to the ring for our official WrestleMania 39 rematch and the main event happening here on SmackDown. The champs settle inside the music, inside the ring, while the music dies down and the theme for the Usos hit. The Usos theme dies down and the ring announcer handles the formal blah blah blahs of, and the pre-match ring instruction for the champions and the challengers. Jimmy and Jay jump and attack Owens and Zane straight out the gate after the announcements are being read. Jay and Kevin Owens end up in the ring together, and the Usos drop the prize fighter with a big super kick. He tags in Jimmy, and the two hit stereo super kicks for a close near fall. We see Zane is laid out at ringside. On that note, we head to a mid match commercial as this tag team match continues. When we return from the break, we see Jay alone in the ring taunting Owens, who is down and out and crawling. The commentators inform us that Jimmy and Jay have been dominating the match since the word go, explaining further evidence why they were the longest ring tag team dropping their titles at WrestleMania. Owens finally makes it to his corner to make the match needed tag to Zayn. The fan favorite hits the ring to a rock star reception and starts taking Jimmy and Jay both by himself. He sends both to the floor, hits the ropes to build full head of steam, and then launches himself, flipping over the ropes and splashing onto them to take them on the floor and ringside. Back in the ring, Zayn hits a sunset flip powerbomb onto Jay for a super close near fall. Zayn continues to work over Uso as we see a wide shot of the American Bank Center. Uso start fighting back, but Zayn slows him down with a blue thunderbomb for a close near fall. Now we see Zayn up on the top rope for a high risk hotspot, but it doesn't pan out as Jay springs to life and runs over and blasts Zayn with a super kick and sends him crashing and burning from the top rope all the way down to the canvas. We head into our second mid-match commercial. And the conclusion of the match in night one of 2023 draft edition when they return. When they return from the break, we see Zayn fucked up and out in the ring, but he manages to make it at his corner to make the much-needed tag. Owens hits the ring like a man possessed and starts clearing house. Yeah, Owens, yeah.
By God, it's Kevin Steen.
Attaboy. Owens brings up Uso to the top rope and then hits a fisherman's buster for a huge near fall. He heads back up onto the top rope and hits a swanton for another close pin attempt. After that, we shoot backstage and in split screen view see Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa watching the action on the monitor. Heyman's on the phone saying, "Yes, sir, thank you, my tribal chief." He turns to Solo and tells him, "That was the call. Tonight is your night." Solo walks off and split screen view disappears as we return to in-ring action. Zayn and Owens fire up again and we see the prize fighter connect with a stunner on Jimmy. He immediately goes to the cover, but somehow Uso kicks out to keep this one alive. As the guys are covering the ring, we see Solo Sikoa making his way down the ringside area. Everyone is popping as Solo keeps walking to the ring, but then we see Riddle fucking him up from behind.
Bro.
He fights with him in the back, and then we return to the ring and see a step up in Enzugiri slow Owens down and allow Jimmy to tag in Dre. Both Usos hit the stereo kicks on an already beating down Owens. Jay goes for the follow-up pin attempt, but somehow Owens kicks out. With Sami Zayn out in ringside, we see one Uso holding Owens up while the other blasts him with super kicks. Still, despite being able to hold his body up, Owens manages to keep kicking out pin attempts. Sami finally comes to life just as the Usos were going for their 1D finisher. He takes out Jay at ringside and tags in and connects with the kick finisher in the corner on Jimmy for the pinfall victory. After the match, Solo Sikoa reemerges and looks disappointed and lost in thought. The Usos exit the ring together and start heading to the back. We see Jay in particular looks very much lost in thought, likely nervous about Roman Reigns' reaction to how things went down.
You lost. You can't lose. I never lose. That's what Roman will say.
They all lost.
Yeah, except Roman. That's why you're going to take it so hard. He don't play that. He don't play that losing shit. See how he rocking.
How do we feel about it? That's what SmackDown on SmackDown.
Well, I mean, you know, again, the draft seemed pretty inconsequential just looking outside in. But, you know, maybe on TV it came off more entertaining. But that was the main story here, and I didn't get anything out of it. Other than that, you had some stories going on, I guess. But, you know, I'm not tapped in on that, so I won't speak to it.
I'm over it.
I am over it.
I'm just over it. I was gonna try. I thought it was gonna be something.
That's the mistake often made. Hey, this will probably be something. They're hyping it up, and then it's
nope. It's like being a Mets fan.
that's a struggle. That's a struggle.
I feel like I'm struggling right now as a fan. So is SmackDown though.
Hey, well, at least you got Bianca Belair and Damage Control. So, you know.
And Charlotte got in.
Oh, yeah, the queen. So, you know, she'll win the championship eventually. Because what else is she there to do? So, yeah, you guys got some good talent there on SmackDown. I wouldn't worry.
Meh.
Resounding meh.
Meh. You ready to lose your title?
Of course not. I'm going to win.
We're going rando again, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I find it hilarious every time.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll definitely go rando. And I will still get the win. I have faith in my rando choices.
Oh, you have faith in your randos? Okay.
I have absolute faith.
But, sir, since that's what SmackDown on SmackDown, you can find me everywhere at RawZoneNYC, www.rawzonenyc.com. Follow Welcome to the RawZone everywhere, wherever you may stream on your platforms and digital devices and whatnot and all that hoopla that is no longer from the 90s.
Yeah, all that stuff's gone. It's different.
we are the land of psych. We went from sidekicks to fucking iPhones. But as for myself, Katie Kamoon, you can find me at imiv.xo_. TikTok, you know, Twitter, all that good stuff. Facebook, you don't need to know where to find me. We're good on that front.
And, of course, you already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at RambleMania. Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Also find our group there, RambleMania Show's Banter Club. We and the other wrestlers, podcasters, and everybody we associate with post all our goings on and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found. Search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. As far as visuals, twitch.tv/RambleMania Show. We're on Spotify video. We're on YouTube. Search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. When you get here, like the videos, click subscribe, click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you.
Yeah.
And as far as me personally, I'm on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. I'm on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
From TJ and myself, your new and soon-to-be 3-time Rainbow Mania World Heavyweight Champion for like 3 days only. Individual. Good night and a too sweet.
Too sweet.
We see y'all in the semi.
We'll see you in the sim.